is the voice of the Vortex. Hello. Today is September 14th, 2010. This year's most exciting Hugo Award went to the podcast Starship Sofa for Best Fanzine. Starship Sofa is now not only the first podcast nominated for a Hugo Award, but the first podcast to win. While there has been some heated debate over whether a podcast should be considered for the fanzine Hugo, or indeed for anything outside of, quote, dramatic presentation long form, this win shows that the science fiction community is open to fan-led innovation in media technology. Also, it shows the reach of a podcast. A podcast produced in England can circulate just as easily in Australia as in North America, and so the potential fan base for Starship Sofa is huge. I wouldn't be surprised if that played a part in Starship Sofa's success. When I saw the nominees for Best Novel, I couldn't decide whether the perennial award winner, China Mieville, would win out over the phenomenon that is The Wind-Up Girl. Apparently, the Hugo voters couldn't decide either. I find this result deeply amusing. Somehow, I have managed to miss almost all of this year's novellas, with the exception of Shambling Towards Hiroshima. I have a feeling I've missed out on some quality fiction. I've enjoyed Charles Stross's work in the past, as well as Ian MacDonald and John Scalzi and Nancy Kress, and in the novelette category, I was pulling for Sinner, Baker, Fabulous, Priest, Red Mask, Black Mask, Gentleman, Beast, which from here on out will be referred to as Eugene Foster's story. I heard this one on Escape Pod, narrated by the talented Lawrence Santoro, and fell in love. With the story, that is. I am a sucker for stories that slowly build alien worlds, which Eugene Foster's story does with great talent and care. The shocking reveal at the end took me by surprise, which is no small task. I prefer the strong science fiction setting in Eugene Foster's story to the beauty and emotional power of Eros, Philia, Agape, my second choice. The Island was simply too depressing for my tastes. It struck me as a good story with a lot of horror added on top. I'd managed to block it out of my mind somehow. I had to look it up to find out that I had, in fact, listened to it on Starship Sofa just a few months ago. I wish I had managed to block Bridesicle out of my memory. When it was nominated for the Hugo, I had a sick feeling that it would win. Cory Doctorow described this story of terror, helplessness, and futuristic sex slavery as lovely. I have heard from a number of people that Bridesicle's horrific aspects were what they enjoyed. Looking down the list, horror seems to be this year's unifying theme, from the future with meat hooks of The Wind-Up Girl to the endless, pointless war in The Island, and from there, unfortunately, to Bridesicle. I mentioned last time that I favored Spar for the Best Short Story Award. Spar is horrific, but at the end, the protagonist climbs out of the life raft. She has the strength to save herself, to take the step away from the familiar pain and into the unknown. Contrast this with Bridesicle, where the beautiful lesbian ends the story by agreeing to become something a man wants. In addition, Spar is beautifully written, with Kidge Johnson's usual spare, addictive prose. I have nothing to say about Girl Genius's second Hugo except, hooray! And they deserve it. Girl Genius makes me go all wibbly. I'll stop now. Onward. Clark's World. If you aren't reading Clark's World, you're missing out. Clark's World is one place where the really exciting speculative fiction is happening. Their stories are never less than brilliant. They have a podcast. They have a gorgeous website with amazing artwork. I was delighted to see them win the Hugo. Perhaps it's a coincidence, but I wonder about the thread of darkness running through this year's Hugo winners. Maybe it's reflecting something in the larger culture. It's something to keep an eye on, in any case. The Vortex's own Eric T. Reynolds was interviewed by the following podcast.
Farpoint Media.
There are so many things to do in summer. Vacations, house cleaning, watching yet more disappointing Hollywood flicks. Why not spend some time with a great book? Or maybe write a great book yourself. August 2010, Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing is back.
Well, we finally made it happen, Sean.
It can be an ongoing source of inspiration and a continuing challenge.
Now featuring a full staff of correspondents and reviewers, join us this August for exclusive coverage from Comic-Con International, the World Fantasy Convention, and the Campbell Awards, and other events around the country as we bring you best-selling authors, editors, artists, publishers, and new writers you need to know about. We'll also feature regular book reviews, videos, writing tips, and up-to-date publishing news. So don't waste your summer with books that leave you used and abused. Join us for fabulous reading with great writers. Subscribe today and settle down for a summer that brings back the Parsec Award-winning podcast like never before at AdventuresInSciFiPublishing.com. That's AdventuresInSciFiPublishing.com.
The preceding program is part of the Farpoint Media family of podcasts. To find out more about Farpoint Media and the many other podcasts available, visit www.farpointmedia.net. A world of audio wonder awaits you there.
I still feel like I'm playing catch-up with science fiction literature. When I was younger, I dedicated myself to reading the classics, with capital letters, Greeks and Romans, Shakespeare and Joyce, which is a good background to have, but it means I'm just now getting around to books like The Golden Witchbreed by Mary Gentle. The Golden Witchbreed and its sequel, Ancient Light, tell the story of a human ambassador who arrives on an alien world to assist the First Contact team and finds herself snarled in local politics. She struggles to understand the true nature of the deceptively humanoid aliens, while she herself becomes the pebble that starts an avalanche of change. The Golden Witchbreed and Ancient Light represent some of the best hard science fiction I have read to date. The sciences that make up their foundation are ecology, sociology, and psychology instead of astrophysics, though she does take the alien sun spectrum into account. Mary Gentle gets the science spot on, while still writing a compelling story populated by real people. If you have not yet read these books, I recommend them. And now, the review with spoilers. These are not books for the faint-hearted. Mary Gentle is not afraid of brutal realism. Fights are bloody and confused. The main character suffers from a constant low-level allergic reaction to all of the alien food. Death comes like lightning, leaving the characters stunned and wondering, what happened? What did I just see? How can she be dead? She was right here beside me. Most importantly, the realism extends to the alien culture. They are humanoid, which some people will quibble with. For those people, I will say that there is an explanation in the book. Their society, or rather, their societies, because Mary Gentle is not the kind of author who writes a one-world culture, is plausible in every detail. These books should not be read separately. The story told in Golden Witchbreed is not complete without Ancient Light. Where the Golden Witchbreed shows the reader an intriguing and utterly plausible alien world, Ancient Light shows how the slightest touch by an outsider can send the whole thing tumbling down. The ambassador returns, 20 years after she left, but now she's representing a corporation, not a government. The corporation is interested in exploring this particular planet because, as we learned in the first book, its inhabitants aren't just low-tech barbarians. They are post-tech survivors of a worldwide holocaust. Artifacts of that ancient civilization are still around, including their most terrible world-ending weapons. In the end, humans come to an alien world and destroy it just as they are beginning to understand its people. It reminds me of when my ancestors came to North America. Our plagues went before us, wiping out nations before we even learned their names. The best science fiction is as much about the past as it is about the future. The Golden Witchbreed and Ancient Light are some of the best science fiction. They hold up a mirror to our own existence. How much time will we waste bickering while our world rots away beneath us? If we can take lessons from our history, will they be the right ones? What follows is fiction. excerpt from Natural Wonders, A Traveler's Guide, Chapter 7, Regarding Birds, by Sarah Frost. One of the most accessible of the world's great animal migrations passes through Istanbul twice a year. Should you find yourself in that region of the world in the autumn, particularly in late August or early September, the sight of thousands of white storks crossing the Bosporus on their way to Africa is not to be missed. The huge birds, who stand tall enough to look a schoolboy in the eye, can be seen riding thermals above mosque domes or sipping coffee in open-air cafes. The Turks adore them and treat the storks as honored guests. While storks are conversant in the dialects of both Northern Europe and Southern Africa, as well as Turkish, they rarely deign to speak English and are usually poor conversationalists. When entertaining a stork, do not serve alcohol. Coffee and apple tea are polite alternatives. Should you happen to encounter the storks on their return to Europe in the spring, do not be alarmed. Many storks take the opportunity to purchase fine leather coats and then attempt to wear them home. The, quote, bat on a broomstick, unquote, style of flying that this produces can easily shock the unwary traveler. Omikuji means sacred lottery. In Japan, omikuji are random fortunes written on slips of paper that are available at Shinto shrines for a small donation. Catherine M. Valenti's omikuji are stories, art, chapters of abandoned books, all printed on beautiful paper, signed by the author, and delivered to you once a month. I have my first omikuji here, by my left hand. I have been unable to put it away. I have never handled a document held shut by an honest-to-God wax seal before. I'm seriously considering getting a museum-grade document box to keep my omikuji in. If you have the money, and it is a subscription service, I think you should sign up. The next meeting of the Kansas City Science Fiction and Fantasy Society will feature me. I will be on a panel about podcasts, what they are, how they're made, and what people do with them. I find this delightfully meta. The Kansas City Science Fiction and Fantasy Society will meet at The Writer's Place at 7 p.m. on Saturday, September 18th. I hope to see you there. The Voice of the Vortex is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works, Share Alike 3.0 license. To comment on this episode, or to submit flash fiction for future shows, drop an email to voiceofthevortex@gmail.com. Show notes are available at voiceofthevortex.podbean.com. This is Sarah Frost, the Voice of the Vortex, signing off.